As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jessica Sterling.
Reginald Fairfield.
Reginald Fairfield.
I could have told you that guy's name before I even saw him. I remembered that episode and that character specifically.
Hey, yeah. If anybody wants to do a drinking game today, drink every time we say Reginald, Reginald Fairfield.
It kind of reminds me of when we talked about It Takes Two. And they're I absolutely adore. It's like that, but like Reginald Fairfield.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And the way Corey just says it, it just
spot on.
Spot on.
Yeah. It's so good.
What a talent.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, these episodes were fun. We're talking Boy Meets World, obviously. Hello. Welcome to the podcast. We're here. I'm excited. It's going to be a good day. It was a long Monday, but now we're recording, which is always a good part of my Mondays. I do have a Bev today. I actually have like the end of one Bev and the beginning of a new Bev because I knew I was going to finish it before the podcast.
How does that? So you have two different Bevs.
Yes, but they're similar. So I
double fisted.
Yeah. I feel like I mentioned this on the Dawson's Creek podcast that like we were coming home from a wedding on Long Island and we had stopped at like a rest area to get gas and like whatever a convenience store. And I went to go to the bathroom and I saw that they had like a huge like mound of like different alcoholic beverages. So seltzers and ciders and blah, blah, blah. And I saw these and literally it was the packaging. That's all it was. 100%. Yeah. It was the packaging.
That's all you need sometimes.
Yeah. And they're Bud Light seltzers. But I don't know if it's like a tie dye theme. Now, I don't know if it was like 4th of July or like what the reasoning was. But they're super cute cans.
Oh, that can's cuter than the other can.
Yeah. So I've had a blue raspberry, which I believe is the one I showed you, Sarah.
Yeah. This one is a blue tie dye.
Yeah. This one is cherry limeade, which is like pink and green as well. One would would expect for cherry limeade. Yeah. And then the backup, the extra that I have, because I know I'm going to finish this other one. I haven't tried it yet. It's called Summer Ice, which I don't know what the fuck that means, but.
Oh, you're getting iced again.
Getting iced, bitch.
So this one has like a red and blue, like red, white, and blue tie-dye.
Yeah, but it on camera it looks more red, but in person it looks more pink. So I don't think it's 4th of July, but like it's certainly like summery, right? Like tie dye is like kind of summery. So
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm like, honestly, I love the blue raspberry, love the cherry limeade way more than I thought I would. And then we'll see about the summer ice. But so far, I got to recommend Bud Light Seltzer is. And I love a hard seltzer in the summer. I can't deny that. So
I have. So this is called like Fit Vine. It's a no sugar, no carb wine that is meant to, I don't know, like be low sugar, low calorie, but like not also because there's low sugar. It's not supposed to give you like a headache or
I was just going to ask you that because that was, I think, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but like I've really been out on wine. I feel like if I have more than a single glass, I end up with a headache the next day. Just, I think it's all the sugar.
Yeah, so this is what it advertises that it will not do. So this is the rosé that I'm trying. It's pretty okay. It was leftovers from a little friend hangout from yesterday.
Love that.
Yeah. The dogs socialize, which you know that they don't do.
I feel like we just have like opposite dogs, honestly.
I know.
It's like Winston gets pumped when literally anybody is here.
It was pretty good. Belle got like a little grumpy, but she's always grumpy.
Yeah. We love that about her.
My child.
Love a grump.
Yep.
Yeah. But
I got some ops.
Some ops? Like bat, like people you're against, like that type of op? Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like people could also say ops for like opportunities. Like, oh, I got an ops today.
No, I don't have any opportunities. That's for sure. No opportunities are knocking down my door. That's for sure.
I don't know why that made me laugh so hard.
My ops is the jackass mosquito that entered my bedroom a few nights ago and pulverized my skin.
How can it get? It got you more than one time?
100 times.
I didn't even know they could do that. I thought it was one and done.
One here.
Oh my god.
One on my leg.
And you didn't wake up for this?
I don't know. It's in my armpit. You know the armpit of like between your.
It's your elbow pit.
My elbow pit.
Okay.
I got like one on my arm. I got one on like over here my hand.
Oh my god.
My legs, my stomach, my upper arm.
It had to be a swarm. Like there's no way that one mosquito did all of this. How do you know it was one? Were you awake for it?
No.
But how do you know it was one?
It was one.
It was an entire family of mosquitoes.
No. I hate mosquitoes. I think that they're rude. I hate ants. Like, I've talked about my hatred of ants. I'm afraid of them.
I don't know that I've ever heard this.
Okay.
Like, every ant, like the big ones, the small ones, like all of them.
I don't like any ants.
I mean, I don't really, like, prefer ants. But at least they're, like, decent bugs, right? Like, I'm pretty sure they do good things. Versus mosquitoes, they're, like, no one likes them.
I'm, like, afraid of ants.
What do you think they're going to do?
I don't like, because they're swarm. I don't like swarms.
Okay, so, like, if you saw a bunch of any one bug, you'd be, like, freaked out.
Yeah.
Okay. This makes more sense to be afraid of swarms versus, like, a single ant.
Yeah. But, no, like, I also don't like one ant.
Okay.
I don't like any ants. I don't like this mosquito. I hope that he drank all of my blood and died from overindulging.
Are you like one of those people that has like that like sweet blood, so like whenever you go like outside or like, I know you don't go camping, but like pretend you went to like a picnic or something, like are you the one who's getting like bit up by the bugs?
Sometimes
my
sometimes
brother is not. Like that they attack him and I'm just like chilling. It must be just like my devil blood, you know.
Yeah, I mean your blood type. You want to announce it to everybody?
Yeah, I'm A negative.
So they can steal. Oh.
What are they going to steal?
Wait. My blood? Excuse me? What are you?
Are you A negative too?
No, I'm A positive.
Oh, I could give to you, but you would kill me if you tried to give me your blood. I would die.
Do you want my blood?
I mean, no. You don't have enough of it. The mosquito already took some.
That's true.
I see. Maybe I was thinking they were like bees where like when they sting you, like that's it. Like they get it in and they're dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely not mosquitoes.
Yeah, that sucks. Well, screw you, mosquito family.
Yeah, the mosquitoes.
Oh, I saw it. I just saw the bump. Oh,
I can't stop scratching. Don't scratch
it. You know what they always say? They say to like put an X on it. Do you ever do that technique?
I have before.
There's a thing on Shark Tank that Shark Tank.
Yeah.
That like pulls out the thing. Do you have that?
No. I don't have that either. It in my Amazon cart.
Do
if you would like to If you would like to send me that, you can find it in my Amazon wish list.
We should get sponsored by them. We should get sponsored by Off.
Save the girl by the mosquitoes.
We should get sponsored by...
by Off. I have Off. Off doesn't work.
I mean, you have to get the right one.
What do you mean?
Like, there's ones that are, like, it's like a, like... like, my mom got one that's, like, a dry mist, which was interesting. It still
tell me why I started typing in mosquitoes, and instead my automatic thing, like, on Google filled out most clumsy zodiac signs.
It knows you too well. Who's the most clumsy? Let me guess. Who's the most clumsy? Aquarius. Right? They're like kooky.
Let's see what they say.
Now I want to know. I love that this entire, like, people, I hope you appreciate this, people.
I mean, there's many, many sources that have different answers, but Sagittarius, Pisces, Cancer, Gemini, Virgo. I don't know about Libra.
What the hell? That's all of them. This is some trash.
I'm saying it was six clumsiest.
Oh, six.
That's half.
Six
that's
clumsiest? Half of them. This is bullshit.
Half of them. How about most to least clumsy?
Most.
Sagittarius once again.
Okay, so I guess that confirms it. I wouldn't have thought about that. Okay.
But Pisces is pretty up there.
Well, are you clumsy? Can you confirm that this is pretty the case?
I could be clumsy. I mean, obviously, at one point I Googled if I was clumsy there or not based on my zodiac sign. So, okay. Well, nonetheless.
Anyway, let's get into the episodes here. People are leaving probably after listening to
10 minutes of banter. Yeah, we're going to get some complaints.
Oh, well. You know, sometimes we like to veer off topic around here.
It's my fault.
It's usually, we're usually pretty decent. So
blame the mosquitoes. The mesquites. The
mesquites. We are here talking Boy Meets World, Season 3, Episodes 8 and 9. The first episode, Rave.
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 Rave-on.
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 Raven. Raven. Anyway, I don't know.
A legal rave.
A legal rave on a sign. Feeny pulls
this
a sign
Friday.
Down. Yeah. Feeny says he's unpopular, but he's saved money on all the call waiting. So 90s. Yep. I love this.
Yep. Yeah. Opting in for call waiting.
Yes.
Where you just used to get the busy signal.
Yeah.
Sometimes I still hear the busy signal. Like when I call.
Yes. If you call, like, order food sometimes.
Exactly.
The worst. The worst.
Yeah.
It's like, you're what like, is this?
No.
Yeah.
No. Don't do this. Corey does not know what a rave is.
This is bullshit. How the fuck do you not know what a fucking rave is, Corey?
And then, like, Feeny has to, like, define it like we're in a spelling bee.
Feeny, you're a, or excuse me, Corey, you're a loser. Feeny is explaining to you what a rave is. Feeny. Okay.
Yeah. A rowdy underground party. Oh, wow.
Rowdy.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Corey worries that he's not hip. And Topanga says that she thinks that he's hip.
And he
but
left his earmuffs.
Left his earmuffs.
Turns out it is Eric who's throwing the party. Corey wants to get in on it. Eric says he's a senior. He's going to make his mark with this rave. Corey wants to do something together. And the only way that Eric will let him is when he blackmails him by threatening to tell their parents about this rave.
You gotta get it. You gotta do it somehow. The Matthews brothers are going to the Matthews brothers. Yes. I don't think that's how they said it.
No, I think they do like the Matthews brothers, and then they whoa, and they like high five.
Whoa.
Whoa. I don't know. It's like a very masculine thing. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And finally Eric agrees. They're gonna do this rave situation together.
Where do you have raves?
I mean, I was thinking a rave is very much like an underground type of thing, right? Like, it would have to be, like, underground, it's like
an empty warehouse.
Yes, and it's dark, and you have those like light sticks, the glow sticks, and the, I don't know. Yeah. I've never been to a fucking rave. Have you been to a rave?
No.
We're so qualified to talk about this today.
Yeah,
We're practically
the issue. I don't like crowds. Actually, the best rave that I can and I don't like noise, so the best rave that I can possibly go to is the silent raves.
Oh, with the headphones. Everyone's
wearing the headphones.
I've thought, like, those I feel like are such a good idea, but here's the thing. Okay, is anybody else concerned about the ear germs?
No, yes, I'm concerned about the ear germs.
I would be concerned Have about the ear germs. Have you ever
seen Animorphs?
I know what it is. I may have watched it as a child, but I do not remember. Yeah,
the earbugs crawl into your ears, and that's how you become an alien.
Oh my gosh. Okay, see what I'm talking about? Eardrums. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. We're at the Matthews residence, and Chubby apparently is on board a cruise to Mexico, which means the rave is going to be at Chubby's. It's like, does Chubby's fucking shut down when Chubby isn't there?
I don't know, because it seems to be so, but so it made me seem like they're going to sneak in. But then they have a deposit for
That's what I don't... None of this really tracks. None of it really makes sense. I guess they don't expect us to think that deeply about it.
No, because we're supposed to be 11 years old watching this, not 32.
That's true.
That's exactly why.
So Jedediah arrives, Topanga's father. He's apparently working on a guitar for Alan that is commissioned by Amy. This tracks based on what we know about him. He makes instruments. He spent too much time on the case. And I'm like, did they fucking hire you to make the case? Like, can't you just fucking buy one, Jedediah?
It's an add-on. Another add-on.
This must have been an expensive-ass gift.
I think so. I think this is, like, apparently they live in a huge house with a guest house. So, Jedediah is charging. I never knew that Topanga was a rich bitch, but she had to have gotten all of her good hair products somehow.
Tell me you're rich without telling me you're rich. Oh, in my guest house. Like, come on. My
guest house. Sure.
So apparently, Corey realizes that the rave is the same day as Amy and Alan's 20th anniversary. We see Alan sneaking a tub inside. Bitch, like, first of all, I feel like he had to have told Amy about this gift for a few reasons. One, he makes no attempt at really sneaking. Like, Amy is home in the room next door. Two, later on, like Alan is talking to Amy about the gift, about the tub. And three, we saw what happened last time he bought them something for an anniversary that was not pre-approved. It didn't go well.
No, this had to be pre-approved. I mean, they were planning for like a romantic night, maybe. Even though Gordy said that, like, in your 20s, like, tubs are for romance, but at Alan's age, which is 40, whatever, it's just a bubbly place to read.
I feel like baths are, like, a thing now. So maybe that used to be true, but, like, Lush created, like put, like, baths, like, on the spot?
On the map? Yes. On the spot on the map?
On the spot on the map. Don't you think so? Right? Like, baths were, like, not a thing. Baths were, like, no, gross. And then all of a sudden Lush happens and it's like everybody and their mother is taking a fucking bath. Not together.
No, I think baths have always been a thing.
Really? I've never been a bath person. To me, it feels like I'm like sitting in my own filth and it's not a life I want to do.
Yeah, no, baths have always been a thing. It's been a thing longer than showers have.
I mean, okay, I know like people take baths. What I am saying is that like Lush made baths like a luxury thing, not like a I need to bathe myself thing.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? I don't know the history of baths.
I feel like this is accurate. I don't know. Listeners, let me know if this is Lush. Crazy.
Lush is a British company, I believe.
Is it? I didn't know that. It sounds British, I guess.
Because it's Lush. So Lush. Yeah, Lush is a British cosmetics retailer. It's founded in 1995.
1995?
1995.
Wow, that's
so,
very recent.
Yeah. customer service number. Do you need that?
No. Okay. Anyway. So, yes. So, Anyway, the guy from, right, so Gordy's there. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting sidetracked. Gordy is there. And we have the British fancy guy walks in. He's from Oxford. He's an old friend of Amy and Alan. Amy doesn't know who this is. It's Reginald Fairfield.
Reginald Fairfield. Alan comes down and Corey's like, hey, look, it's Reginald Fairfield.
Yeah, so good.
So Reginald is from their college backpacking trip through Europe. And he said, if like, Alan was like, hey, like, if you ever come to the States, like, you're welcome to stay on my couch. And like, you give that offer, never expecting anybody to take it up, take you up on it. But Reginald Fairfield is like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Wild. Wild that he like, this is how, like, a college backpacking trip. This is like 20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
And this guy, first of all, he knows where they live. How? How does he know where they live?
At the Yellow Pages.
That's true. Okay, the Yellow Pages. It's just creepy. He like finds where they live. He's like, I'm gonna couch surf for a while. He looks fancy, but I don't think he is. I think he's just like a con artist or like has no money.
He definitely has con artist vibes.
Yes. And he's not a very good one though. Like, everybody knows what he's doing. And he's like going through photos of their trip through Europe. Corey's, oh, a sexy babe in a wet tank top. Yeah, it's Amy. Maybe don't put that one in the photo album if it's like a white tank top and it's wet, Amy. What were you thinking?
I've had the impression that maybe like Reg brought this photo album.
Oh, that's a really, maybe he brought it.
Yeah,
that's like, true. That makes him even creepier than I originally thought. Yeah, no, he was.
That's how I perceived it. Like, he's such a creep that like he's like, these were like my best friends that I ever had, and we backpacked through Europe for like a month, and it was like the best experience ever. And I'm gonna visit my BFFs, and here's our photo album.
Yeah, that's true. I could totally see that. Oh my gosh. So Eric's talking on the phone about a secret party. Amy is literally like right there. And Amy tells Alan like, oh, the kids are like, they finally recognized our anniversary. They're throwing us a party, which Corey overhears. Here's my question. 20 is a huge like number, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, in my opinion, if it's like your parents' like 17th wedding anniversary, like, are you supposed to get them something? I don't think so.
I mean, I think good kids do.
Oh, well, then I'm a shitty ass kid.
Yeah, like, you're supposed to, I mean, at least wish them a happy anniversary.
Oh, I definitely always do that. I wished, actually, my parents' anniversary was last Saturday.
And you got them nothing.
I wished them a happy anniversary. I didn't know we were supposed to, like, here's the thing. Everybody treats us differently. My brother doesn't either. It's like a happy anniversary. Now, next year is a huge one. Next year will be their 40th wedding anniversary.
What?
Is that right? That's right. Yeah. 40th.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
That is 100% true.
40?
Well, my parents got married when my mom was 18 and my dad was 21. So, yeah. 40.
Holy crap.
I know. Anyway, so that's a big one, right? So, like, I feel like it's, like, the big ones, like, every, like, 10. Like, you get them something.
Okay. So, then you better get them
something. I have a full year to figure it out, so I think I'm fine.
Yeah, don't put up or show. Don't show up.
I mean, show up to what?
At their house ever again.
can't go there anymore. So Corey finds Eric at Chubby's, and he says, you know, we need to cancel the rave. Our parents think it's 20-year anniversary party. We need to turn it into a mom and dad party within 24 hours. It's a huge thing.
Yeah. Like, but Eric's definitely upset, but it's like Corey's like, you know, we have to do it. It's like, you know, if anybody can do it, we can do it because we're the Matthews brothers. And like, Eric's definitely not happy about this.
No. He's like, this is the thing, is Corey is like obviously the very good kid in this entire episode. And Eric is like so bad and so awful. And yet he gets like, they both get condemned for like the same thing. You know what I mean? mm-hmm. even though Eric is much worse.
Yeah. I love how Corey's making calls to his relatives, like, during the school day, like,
yes!
hoping that, like, his, like, great aunt can possibly come in, like, 6 hours. Ridiculous.
Yeah, he gives them no time. He's like, oh, I need adults. So he invites Turner. 6 hours, no jeans, bring a present. I feel like, yeah. Why no jeans? Like, is this a formal party?
It's supposed to be.
Chubby's?
Well, I mean, Corey is wearing a suit.
He looks very good. He looks very dapper.
Yeah. Eric, he's not. He's probably, no. I think he's wearing jeans.
Yeah.
To this party. Corey invites Feeny. It's like, what are you doing later today? Oh, just hanging out with Sean Hunter at the mall. Oh, Feeny, you're so funny. You're definitely the life of the party. Come to my mom and dad party.
Yes. Yeah, of all the people, sure, okay. I mean, it makes sense. He's their neighbor anyway, but...
I mean, I think that Turner is, like, okay person to invite, and I think Feeny's an okay person to invite. You know who did not get the invite?
What the fuck is Eli? Yeah.
Why?
That was also an issue I had. I'm like, you're looking for adults. Why not invite Eli? Like, he's friends with Turner. It makes sense. You know, just invite
Not good
him.
Enough to come to the party, upsetting. I guess.
Very upsetting.
Jared or Bud, nowhere to be found.
I mean, he's definitely not coming. He put Janitor's curse on them.
Janitor's curse.
Reginald is at school. He saw Feeny over the fence. All Feeny said was good morning, and Reginald said that Feeny invited him to lunch.
What a con. Who would have thought? And he's like, I can't possibly do it. I have classes all morning. And then Reginald Fairfield is like, thank you, George. I would love to sit in on your classes.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Get this guy off campus.
Why does he even want to? These are like high school classes. It makes
no sense. Where's his guest pass? You need an ID badge to be admitted in here.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is way, way before that. Like, anybody could just walk into a school.
Yeah.
And so Topanga apparently found a band. She has a band lined up.
Yeah. I'm pissed at her.
Why?
Old guys in their 30s.
Oh, yeah.
But they'll be okay. Are you kidding me, Topanga?
Fuck off, Topanga.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel better?
Yeah.
Fuck all the way off.
Oh, I wouldn't have said that.
Oh, okay. Well, it's too late. It's recorded. I'm not cutting it.
Screw you. How about that?
That's better.
Okay.
I'll still leave mine in, though.
Sean got it. I'm not offended. I'm still more offended by the mesquites.
Ugh, as you should be.
Sean got a guy to jump out of the cake for $6.
And he paid Sean $6.
He paid Sean $6.
What the fuck cake are they buying that he can jump out of?
I don't know, but he was definitely a no-show.
Yeah, we didn't see that. That was upsetting. I was waiting for it.
Yeah. Eric comes in. He got 300 balloons that say happy birthday, Amy and Ellen.
I mean, progressive, so, but not exactly what we're looking for.
Corey has to just clean all this mess up.
That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Corey does all this work and gets like none of the credit for actually attempting to do this when Eric is like pretty much working against him 90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets worse because all these like girls, these teenage girls are like, oh, the rave got canceled. Ugh, guys don't have any guts anymore.
Yeah. And that definitely upsets Eric because he had a good reason. He was just trying to do something nice for his mommy and daddy.
Yes. Like, it's like, except now he's going to just completely change course and fuck everything up. They get to Chubby's that night. And Corey's like, oh, we pulled it off. He's like in a suit. He has Topanga and Sean with him. He's like ready to go. No, tons of randos just being let in the door with a fucking cover charge.
Yeah, $10 cover charge. Hey, that's not that bad. Crazy, I went somewhere not too long ago with a $40 cover charge.
Oh my fucking God. A $40 cover charge. What the fuck were you going to see? That's like tickets to something.
We be raging.
That is fucking insane. $40. Yeah. I can't think of anything I want to see for fucking $40.
I didn't see anything besides other drunk people.
What the fuck? You could see that for free.
Yeah.
This is trash. I'm upset for you.
Okay, but I don't know what to say.
So
$10 is not that bad.
No, $10 is good.
It's like $10 is fine.
So, what's the $10 going towards? The band that doesn't show up and the.
I think it's like the food, right? Like, we didn't see food, but I imagine there was food. Like, I was thinking it was like more in the back. Like, we didn't see that like room with the pool table and all of that. Like, I think that's where it was.
I bet there's no snacks. Like, you think that Corey and Eric were thinking about the snack situation?
I mean, I feel like Corey would think about the snacks. I don't think Eric would. I think Eric would be like, let's put out peanuts for everybody.
We just spent all the money on, well, probably the venue, but probably on, like, glow sticks and, like, blow up aliens.
Yeah, I just feel like we barely saw anything that would be, like, what, like, the venue alone, but that's it. Like, we didn't see anything else that would cost any money. We saw the balloons that he bought, but, like, I don't know. We didn't see them at the rave.
300 balloons is a lot of balloons, and I don't think that there was 300 balloons in there.
No.
I wouldn't have done the count.
Yeah. Anyway, so we have cheerleaders chocolate wrestling in the kitchen. Eric's hanging out with Wanda. Corey talks to Eric. He wants to move the party across the street before his parents get here. He wants to like round up the family, get them over across the street so that his parents don't find out about this. But it's too late. Amy and Alan are right outside.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Corey talks to the crowd and is like, hey, the theme of the party is now anniversary party. And next time somebody comes down the stairs, say surprise. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Wild and crazy.
Yes. So Feeny and Turner enter. Surprise.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. $10 cover charge for Corey to come to English class tomorrow.
Yes. So the Matthews can't get in. Their name isn't on the list and Frankie won't let them in.
Don't forget yourself for parties when you're making a list.
Seriously.
Include the guest of honor.
Yeah. And so they finally get in and they're like, who the fuck are all of these people? They don't recognize anybody. I love Corey being like, or no, it was Eric who was like, oh, you know, those two, those are like Uncle Ned's kids. You know, that big fight you had, you haven't seen him in a long time. Like, those are those kids. And I love Alan just going up and being like, I was wrong, guys. Like, I'm really sorry.
that was on me.
Yeah. It was very sweet.
Yeah. He's like, you don't know what I'm talking about. And I'm totally freaking you out right now.
Yeah it was great. So Feeny is like, I won't tell. He obviously knows what happened. Like, it's Feeny, he knows everything, he's all seeing, all knowing. And he's like, I won't tell anybody unless the man with the neon mohawk touches me. Which is such a weird specific thing to say.
Feeny does not like mohawks. Mm-mm. He doesn't like that riffraff.
No, it's like, Feeny, you are so fucking old. You're so crotchety, man. Like, lighten up.
Yeah.
But apparently this was a valid concern because the man with the mohawk indeed does try to touch him.
I mean, hands off the Feeny. That's what I always say. You can't do that to the Feeny.
Yep.
I think that he was a little quick to judge. What happens if the guy with the mohawk is the nicest dude in the whole place?
What if he's like a fucking Pulitzer Prize winner? Like, you don't fucking know Feeny.
You don't know Feeny.
You don't know his life.
You don't know me. So, yeah, I also like how Frankie at one point stole Amy's watch and gave it back to her as a present because he knew that she would like it.
Yes, loved this. When did he steal her watch? At the door. It's amazing.
At the door.
Like,
crazy.
It's very obvious. Like, there's no way they're going to get away with this. Amy and Alan immediately know what's up and they take them outside. And they're like, you know what? We didn't need a party, but, like, you could have gotten us a card. Like, that's literally all we needed. You know what I mean? For us to feel satisfied. But this just shows that you care about your friends more than you care about your parents.
Yeah.
And oh, my God. It was so, honestly, this was, like, a pretty funny episode, but it was kind of sad when Eric was like, oh, I just wanted one night to be remembered. And Amy was like, so did we. Like,
yeah, that was like a gut punch to the heart. So sad. It's like poor Amy.
Corey's like really apologetic and Eric takes the blame. He's like, you know, Corey was like trying, like, you know, we pulled this thing together in like 24 hours, which did not impress them. They're like, oh, like 24 hours?
Yeah.
Like, Alan was like, it wouldn't hurt for you to do one nice thing for your parents. I'm going to collect our relatives and we're going to get out of here and grab some coffee at the house.
Yeah. So Corey has an idea last minute. He finds Jedediah and Gordy and was like, oh, what was their wedding song? Turns out it was My Girl. And this is when we get like Topanga in rage mode. She's so upset. She goes to like a beat up Frankie and we get her father, who we know he calls her Tippy because this is not the first time this has happened. But Tippy, have you been eating meat? And apparently she had a meatball and it puts her into a rage.
Wow. Wow. She turns literally into the Hulk from one little meatball. You like, who would have thought? Like, Swedish meatballs? I don't know. Like, I feel concerned for when Tippy eats the meats. She calls Frankie a mall rat, which I think is a nod to the Kevin Smith movie Mallrat, because the actor that played Frankie had a very small role in that movie. Oh,
there you go. Love that.
Yep, a little nod. So Jedediah and Gordy play the My Girl. Reginald Fairfield comes to play. And then here we are with 3 out of 4 of the monkeys.
We love to see it. This is such a fun little thing. Like, it's like, it reminds me of like Full House when they had the Beach Boys. Like, it was a very like 90s thing to do to get like an old school band back together for the show. And it was really fun when they play the song. They gave them like quite a lot of time on the show to play.
They did. I want to know, like, literally the fourth person, Mike Nesmith, did not want to be on a guest spot.
He was like,
spot.
I fucking hate that show. I'm not going on. He's like,
I hate Boy Meets World. He said, but apparently he was there in attendance during filming. But it's like, why, like, your three, like, band members are all performing. Yeah. And you're like, you know what? Like, I'm good.
Yeah. It's like, it's what? Like, just be there, dude. Yeah. So they play My Girl, and it's as Amy and Alan are walking out, they hear it, and they're like, oh, they're playing our song. So they go to dance, and Corey, why? Corey, we need to sit down and chat. Why are you giving Eric the credit for this? Like, literally, he has worked against you this entire time. Take the fucking credit, dude. This is where I would say Corey is not a Leo. A Leo takes the fucking credit. A Leo was like, I did that, that was me.
Yeah, I think it's because Eric took the blame. So that made Corey want to return the favor.
Whatever. I would have taken the credit.
Yeah. But you're also a crappy sister.
Also true. Eric's dancing with Wanda. We find out it's his cousin, Wanda. I love this moment.
Did Wanda know?
I have a feeling it was one of those situations where it's just like family you don't see very often. It's been, they were kids probably the last time they saw each other. He probably doesn't remember. He has like a second cousin, Wanda. Or, I don't know if it's his first cousin, but I thought it was hilarious. And I love how Sean just like quickly jumps in to take his spot dancing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So then they switch songs to a song called Not Fade Away. Get to play most of that song too.
It was a lot of music at the end.
Lot of music, this dude who is the real manager of the Partridge Family comes up and is like, you have a good sound.
You could be like great. The Beatles. They've got something. I used to manage a band, a family group. And I love how he was like, oh, you don't have a wife in there to worry
a
about.
Mother.
It's oh yeah. mother. It's like, the fuck, bro? Like, all right.
I don't know. Maybe there's some tea about the Partridge Family being like the mom being crazy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Eric and Corey just know that they like really are lucky that this whole thing worked out. We get Reginald Fairfield trying to couch hop to other people's couches. Gordy says no way. Like Jedediah has like a poppin' house with a guest house and. You know, it seems like Jedediah had a meatball, too, because he says, if you drive down my street, you're a dead man.
Yeah. Jedediah. Whoa. He definitely
zero,
had some meatballs.
0 to 100.
Oh, we then have confirmation that there was food at the party if Topanga ate a meatball. Boom.
I saw no food.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're not like, I don't think it's like an Italian meatball. Like, I think it's like a Swedish meatball.
Oh,
like,
yes.
On
a little toothpick.
Toothpick.
Yes. Love a Swedish meatball.
Hors d'oeuvres. Maybe like some
a little
like mini
hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah, mini hot dog, crab cake.
Yes. So what did you think of this episode? Rave on.
You know, it's like super memorable. Like, everybody remembers the monkeys playing in mm-hmm. Boy Meets World and like this whole thing. And I mean, it's a very fun episode. And it's fun seeing like Eric and Corey kind of working together, kind of not.
Yeah.
And I think that it's fun seeing like Jedediah and Gordy again. Reginald Fairfield is like one of those characters that you just remember forever.
Yes. I love Reginald Fairfield.
Reginald Fairfield.
No, it was a good episode. It was fun. It wasn't like relationship drama. It's nice to take a break from like the relationship drama stuff. I enjoyed it. I think it was like a mm-hmm. silly one. It was a fun one. We got more of Amy and Alan, more than we've seen like all season.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
What do you think Davy Jones is doing? Is he dead? Is that a bad question? Yeah, he's dead. Never mind.
That was such a quick turnaround. Literally, I don't even think you had finished asking the question before you were like, oh, yeah, he's dead. When did he die? Was it a long time ago?
2012.
Oh, it was a long time ago. Okay.
Jedediah also passed.
Oh my!
Peter Tork in 2019.
Here.
Rest in peace.
Oh no, that was recent.
Let's just go for the trifecta. Oh, no. Gordy's still popping.
Woo! Gordy, we love Gordy.
Yeah. His birthday is on March 8th, day before mine.
There you go, both Pisces.
Yeah. Yes, and then let's see, Mr. Grumps, Michael Nesmith, who's too good to come.
Does he avoid the Boy Meets World curse?
Yeah, he's around.
He's still kicking. Good to know.
Yeah.
We got the updates on all the monkeys. You're welcome.
He's a Capricorn. He's like, I don't have time for this that nonsense.
That makes so much sense. Oh, my goodness. All right. On to the next episode. Episode 9, The Last Temptation of Corey. This is a fucking weird episode title.
You know the reference.
No. What's the reference?
Last Temptation of Christ.
Oh.
I didn't know that reference.
Okay. Anyway.
X-nay on the title A.
Christ cray. Anyway. Topanga's homesick. Corey's on the payphone. I love everything with payphone.
Like, Topanga's homesick. Like, where did she go?
Topanga's
home.
comma.
Sick.
Sick. Corey's on the payphone with her. He calls her Topi.
I love it, Topi.
Oh, I hate it. I hate
what?
It. Because
oh,
Topi, to me, like, sounds like taupe as a color, and like,
I know,
to call
that's,
someone
I,
taupe,
that's why I like it.
Like, it sounds
no,
like you're like calling it. Them boring. It sounds like you're calling
no,
them vanilla.
No, taupe is not a boring color. Don't be crazy. Taupe is not a boring color.
Okay.
Beige is boring. Taupe is.
Are they not very similar?
No, very different.
Okay. All right. I'm pulling.
Taupe is. I like taupe. Taupe is so cute.
I'm pulling up the colors beige and taupe to see the difference.
Beige is like lighter.
Okay, there is a difference.
Taupe is like a grayish brown.
There is a difference, but they're awfully similar.
No, they're not
depending
similar
on,
at all.
Okay. Anyway, I don't really care for the nickname Topi. It's kind of
you
like
Tippy. Tippy better.
I don't really like either from me.
I like Tippy. I like both. You hate nicknames though.
I'm not a
you
big nickname
even,
gal.
Why don't you let me call me like you don't let me call you Jessie Poo? You said you don't like it.
I don't think I've ever stopped you from calling me it.
Every single time I've said it, you said I don't like it.
Oh, well. I mean, what am I supposed to call you? Like, Sarah is just Sarah. Like, you can't. How are you supposed to shorten that?
My nickname is SJ.
But that feels like it's more work than Sarah.
You think so? I think it's same syllables.
Yeah, but it feels like, again, a nickname is supposed to be shorter, is it not? So, like, why would I, like... Like, how many people in your life call you SJ versus Sarah?
Only a few people call me SJ.
See? I guess it's, like, an honor, but still.
More people did.
You wish more people did? Why? You don't like Sarah? She just feel like it's, like...
No, I like my name. I like my name Sarah. Yeah, I like my name Sarah.
You know
Sarah.
I try, but I can't. It's like...
You've never tried.
Sarah. It just, no. It feels weird. I try. That's what it sounds like when I try.
No. Okay, we're going to work on this. I did want to bring that up to you as like our 1 year friendiversary gift that I was going to try to get you to say my name correctly.
That's a gift to you?
For
or for me?
For me.
Oh, okay.
For me.
I was going to say, this doesn't sound like a gift to me.
It's not that hard.
Sarah. Is that
yeah,
it?
We'll work on it.
I feel like
it.
I
we'll
sound like it. Tony from Survivor when I try to do it.
We'll work on it.
Anyway, so
let's
everybody,
just, like, let's just move on. Like I, you know, I don't want to do this anymore.
Everybody goes, aw. Corey gets a compliment from a girl about his shirt, and Sean accuses Corey of flirting. He says Corey has quote unquote the scent.
The scent.
Do you think this is a thing where women want men, or like the way he describes it is that women want men because they can't have them? I would like to extend this to
no.
People want people because they can't have them. Like, is there a scent?
I think men want women when they can't have them.
Interesting.
I don't think women want men. I don't know. I think I think it depends on the person.
Yeah. I just like, I don't see the appeal in wanting somebody who's already taken because they're taken.
I've never been interested in somebody that was taken.
I mean, I've been interested in people that are taken, no, but it like, had nothing to do with them being taken.
Yeah. No, I mean like, yeah. Like it just because they were taken didn't make them more appealing to me.
Exactly. And here's the thing. I think it's because like Corey's like an excellent boyfriend and like girls want
very
that.
Very good. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm sure that gets around that and like people see it that he's very loving, lovable.
Mm-hmm.
Gives great nicknames, is a good guy. So yeah, I think like that is definitely the case.
Yeah.
Like, he's such like Topanga's treated so well and calls her every period when she's homesick.
Yeah.
This girl, Libby Harper, comes up.
What a good
and
name, Libby Harper.
Libby. We see Libby twice in the history of Boy Meets World, and this being the first. And this is actually this girl's first role in television ever.
Wow.
Yep. So then we, Corey says that Sean is baddie. When I heard it at first, I thought he called Sean a baddie.
You're like, wow, this originated in the 90s?
Yeah. I'm like, Sean's a baddie. One girl may have flirted with me, but it's not like girls like Missy Robinson is going to come up and make small talk with me.
Did you know the sun sets at 6:52? What a fucking weird thing to say, Missy. You're fucking weird.
Apparently that's small talk.
Ugh. Yeah, so this is Missy... famously in My Date with the President's Daughter. If you don't already know, Sarah and I covered that with the boys of Boy Meets World Fever. If you want to go give that a listen, that was a while back. That was a fun podcast to do. But we finally get to see Missy.
Yeah, Missy.
She's here.
Finally. Yes, she's made it. So then we're in Feeny's class, and Missy took Topanga's seat,
which I feel
like is kind of disrespectful.
The fucking audacity on this bitch.
Yeah.
She takes Topanga's seat, and, like, Sean and Corey are talking about the fact that she's in Topanga's seat. And I love this moment where Feeny's like, Corey, what was I talking about? And Corey has no idea. And then he asks Sean. Sean says, Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal. And he's finally been right. He's been saying the same answer for 2 years. I love
it. Yeah, it had to have worked eventually. Incredible.
I mean, he's not wrong. Like, I love the thought of this. So they need to get partners for a project. And Sean and Corey, of course, want to be partners. But Feeny says no. And there's, like, a really good-looking girl that asked Sean to be her partner. So he says yes. And then we get Trini. I didn't know Trini made a return.
Trini. Yeah, Trini comes. Yeah, she's like, you know, Topanga is like typically my normal partner, but she's not here. And she's like, there's so few people that get me. Like, it, she gets me so much that when I call at 3 a.m. and not even say a word, she knows it's me. It's like, I'm wow.
Sorry. Like, I'd like to imagine people saw this and were like, Brittany Murphy is a star. Because I love Brittany so
major
much.
Star power. Like, especially this episode, major star
she
power.
She gives me such Thai vibes. Like, I can't even help it. She gives me such, like, awkward but like well-intentioned like kind of dorky girl. She's like, she just gets me. Like,
I love her.
Corey's like not interested at all, so he runs out, and of course Missy is there just fucking waiting to pounce this bitch. And she's like, oh, you know, I need a partner, you're so funny and you're so cute. Like, all right, Missy, enough.
Corey wants to be a solo partner, but then Feeny comes around with Trini, and he's like, nope, I'm taken.
I mean, you can't really blame him here, but I feel like here's the thing, I feel like Corey should know he's in danger kind of from the get-go. Like, it's pretty obvious that Missy does not have like the best of intentions, but I feel like that's just how much he doesn't like Trini. Is he's just like, all right, whatever, I'll take what I can get because I don't want to be in partners with Trini.
And then like, plus like, Missy like really like comforts him and says like, don't worry, like you could still think about your girlfriend Topo Gio.
Oh my god, Topo Gio. It's ridiculous. Yeah, that's not even close.
No.
Then we're in the lunchroom, and turns out that Missy paid for Corey's lunch. It's like, what the
fuck?
Like, what, bitch? What are you doing?
Love that for you. Just, I've never heard of somebody paying for somebody else that
not at school
lunch.
Yeah, school.
That is like, is that what high school couples do?
No.
Do they pay for each other's lunch?
Well, to be fair, when I had a boyfriend in high school, like, my boyfriend wasn't in high school, so I don't know for sure. But I also think this is a no.
I'm gonna text my cool friend who actually did have a boyfriend in high school and see if this is something that he ever did for her.
This is something that happened. Yeah, I just think it's kind of strange because it's like, wouldn't your parents be giving you the money for school lunches? So like, how are you?
I know, but like, I feel like that's like really cool. Like, I've never thought about that before. Like, oh, like my boyfriend, my high school boyfriend, paid for school lunch.
It's kind of like a boss move, to be honest.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Or you pay for your boyfriend's school lunch. I wonder if that, like, obviously, like, oh no, I forgot my lunch money. Like, that's different. Like, that's
different. That's very different. So we have, like, Corey's uncomfortable. She saved him a seat, whatever. Feeny, we get con man Feeny at it again. He needs pledges for a marathon situation.
This is so messed up, this whole story.
It is. He's getting pledges per mile ran.
He gets Turner to change his $2 donation to a $5 donation
per mile, and this is in
per mile
2021 it would be about $9.
Oh wow,
per mile.
Okay, so then Eli's like, you know what, like, I'll just give you like a flat 50, because, and like, Feeny's like, starts talking about like, oh, like, you know, I got to keep going because like last year I had like a busted like knee, and like, I can't like embarrass myself like that. So then Eli gets cocky. He's like, you know what, George, I'll do $50 per mile. So even if you like, you know, do 1 mile, then you'll still get my $50.
Yes. And
crazy.
I did that too. I checked on the difference between $50 back when this episode was on and now, $88.
Feeny, like, this is like not right. You know how much Eli makes.
He,
like,
should be
hired.
Exactly.
Him.
It's a bit much, right? Like, I understand the push from 2 to 5. Okay, that's not bad. But to $50, and Feeny is like, oh, my joints swell, I was a no show. Like, he goes on and on and on. So finally Eli caves and he's like, $50 a mile, even if you do the first mile, you're fine. Feeny's like super thrilled because he's such a con man.
He's so messed up.
He is. We get Missy wanting Corey to feel her moisturizer. Like, all right, Missy, enough. Corey wants to start working on the project this weekend. But she says, oh, I'm having a party on Friday night. Like, come bring Sean. It will be great. And Corey is like, I don't know, whatever, whatever. He kind of leaves it, like, undecided with her at this moment.
Mm-hmm. But he's already feeling guilty because Trini comes around and is like, do you want to come to Topanga's with me after school? And he gets defensive. Like, I always think about Topanga. I'm thinking about Topanga right now.
Yeah.
It's like, so you're acting real guilty, bro.
Yeah, for sure. He already feels like, I mean, here's the thing. Like, it's not his fault. Like, we'll get into that later. But they're at the Matthews residence now. Corey's like, oh, nothing's going to happen. And he's like, I have to go tell Topanga, like, right away. And we have Eric, like, this side plot in this episode is so strange. Eric is hanging a baseball photo. Apparently this guy, he thinks, is going to pay for his college intuition. Love that.
Yeah.
He paid, was it $200 or $300
for $200 for a signed photo of Teddy the Bag Bagwell.
Yes. Nowadays that would be $353.
Wow. It's
fucking nuts.
Yeah. And this dude, he is two baseballs to the head away from being the record keeper.
Yes.
Of having, like, the most balls thrown at your head or something like that.
I don't know how he's not dead, first of all.
Yeah.
I asked Will just to be sure. He says, no, this is not real. I didn't know. I wanted to double check, you know, sports expert. Yeah. Will.
Yeah.
He says it's not real. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. And his parents are not proud.
Well, they're giving away, he's giving away the family portrait.
Yeah, ridiculous. So we're at Topanga's. Trini apparently has to work with Feeny because no one wants to work with her, but he says not to call her. Poor Trini. I love her. Topanga loves her too.
Yeah, Trini's just like such a fun character. She's like so funny. I like the little fake out that she does.
Yes, I thought that was so cute. She's like, I'll stay just one more hour. And she goes, I'm kidding. And she leaves. Like, she's actually really funny.
Yeah, very funny. I mean, it's no doubt Brittany Murphy was like the biggest true talent. Especially in Happy Feet. Loved Happy Feet. Yes.
So Topanga wants to know all about Corey's day. He tells Topanga about the party, but he says he doesn't want to go without her. And she tells him to go. Like, she's being a great girlfriend. She's like, oh, no, mm-hmm. go. Like, don't wait for me. Like, just go to the party. Have fun. And so he says, oh, I'll get you ice cream on my way home. She asks for ice cream made with organic rice milk. Mm-hmm. But if they don't have that, Chunky Monkey with Chocolate Jimmies. Quite the difference.
Yeah. I mean, she's trying. She's a, you know, a good little vegetarian.
Yes. So Corey arrives at the party. It's not a party. It looks very similar to the basement for Melissa's party.
It really did. I think it is the same basement. Well, we'll just pretend like
it's
not.
We love reusing sets on Playmates World.
It's like that closet. It's like, I know that closet. Yes. Corey's already made out in that
closet.
He has
made out in that closet.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a party for four. You know, that's it's we're having a party. Mew, mew, mew. A party for two. Have you ever heard that song?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a party for four.
Yeah. Mew, mew, except, mew. Like, yeah, Corey is like, oh, no. And he immediately, like, gloms onto Sean. Is like, we need to stay together. This girl is extremely forward and just Libby. Starts nibbling Sean's
yes,
ear.
Yes, yes. Oh, the old my. Nibbling ear trick. A classic.
Oh, my
if I do say
word.
So myself. Yeah, so he Corey lets him go. Missy is so glad he came, and she fishes for a compliment on her dress. My girl, Tupa Chino's, has just one just like it, but longer. She, like, leads him to the couch, and, like, you know, Corey's doing some, like, mantras to stay focused. So, basically, you know, she says that she likes him, and, like, he's surprised to hear that, and he's like, well, yeah, I like you as far as I know about you, but I would like to know more.
Yeah, it's so creepy. She's like, I'm just going to stare deeply into your eyes until I know it all. And then Corey proceeds to tell her his life story, which was pretty funny, and you'd think would be a turnoff, but no, apparently not. She's like, let's just skip to now. And it's like she turns on music. She wants to slow dance. It's like, mm-hmm. I love the move of like her trying to kiss Corey and he puts his hand over his mouth.
Yes. Very, very. That was That was pretty good.
Yeah. Like, this is not okay, what Missy is doing. Like, she's being so forward. It's so obvious that he's not into it. Like, just mm-hmm. leave him alone. Like, the minute you try to kiss him and he covers his mouth, to me, that's like, okay, that's the sign. Enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. I know. It's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Missy is, yeah, like, Missy Robinson, you're trying to seduce me. And she's like, I wish I was doing a better job. We aren't even making out yet. And it's past 9 o'clock, which makes the alarm bells go off because he promised Topanga that he would drop off the Chunky Monkey double fudge with Jimmy's by 9.
Yes.
So he's in a panic. He calls Topanga in the closet. And then Missy comes in. She starts kissing Corey's neck.
She saw how successful the, like, biting the ear technique was with Sean. Mm-hmm. So she decided to try it on Corey. It's like, so then she kisses him. Here's where my gripe is in, right? He mm-hmm. did not kiss her back. She kissed him. He mm-hmm. stood there.
Yeah, with dead lips, dead yeah, fish
like,
lips.
What is he supposed to do? Like, shove her? You know what I mean?
I think so. Well, what's the thing? We see this situation all the time in television.
Yes, but it's
of one it's person so kissing the other. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, exactly. What's the move here, right? Like,
well, I guess ultimately the move is to not put yourself into a compromising position like
this. I guess, but I would say, like, we'll get into what Sean says later, but I agree with him for the most part. So Corey says, I can't do this. I have a girlfriend. I should be with her. Missy's dad arrives and they have to, like, sneak out. I love the image of Corey's own head on the wall with the other, like, deer heads and stuff. That was mm-hmm. silly. So we're back at the Matthews residence. Quick little intermission of Corey's storyline because Eric and Amy and Alan are watching this baseball game with Teddy Beanbag Bagwell. He gets hit in the head and then he gives a speech, which is very much like the Lou Gehrig Pride of the Yankees speech. Today, I consider myself the stupidest man on the face of the earth. I quit baseball. Sounds like something he should have done a long time ago.
So does he know that he only has, like, one baseball to the head to become a record winner? Because
I mean, he probably forgot because he got hit in the head.
Even if it's a bad record, if you can be a record keeper, then if you're just one away, throw the ball at my head and let me be good at something. He's only second best.
I suppose of the worst. Also, like, he probably has, like, severe head injuries.
I think his eye is, like, literally, like, out of the socket at this point. Oh, yeah.
Like, they say in all sports, like, they get really, really injured in their heads and it's not good. Baseball, you have a 90-mile-an-hour ball flying at your face.
Yeah, that's why I stopped going to the batting range.
Yeah, me too. Sure, that's why.
Too scary.
We're at Chubby's. Corey's ordering ice cream for Topanga. And he's like, he's blaming himself. Why did I do it? Why did I kiss Missy Robinson? And John says, the way I see it, you're the victim. Yes. Yes, he is. Like, just because he was there, he was like, he thought he was going to a party for one. He like, mm-hmm. there's also that, like, societal, like, peer pressure to stay once you're already there. Like, he feels awkward. He can't just leave. Okay, we'll work on our history project. Like, every step of the way, I feel like, yeah, he could have maybe sort of kind of left. But, like, that's a tough call to make in that moment, in, you know what I mean, where he is. I don't really blame Corey that much. I feel like every step of the way he was like, oh, you remind me of my girlfriend Topanga. You know what I mean? Like, he drops all these hints.
Okay. I mean, I totally agree. I think that, like, he could have left. Like, he did put himself in a situation where he was not going to thrive. Mm-hmm. But he did, you know, try to thwart everything that was thrown at him. So what I don't get is, like, ultimately, like, Topanga shows up at Chubby's because she didn't really think, like, she had to get out of the house and she didn't know if Corey was coming. And Corey feels so guilty that he admits that he kissed her.
Yeah, this also makes no sense.
This is the part where it's like, it makes, I don't know if he didn't want to make excuses, but he said, I accidentally kissed Missy.
Yeah.
And Topanga's like, how do you accidentally kiss somebody? Did you slip on a rug and your lips broke the fall?
Yeah. I think, yeah, this is the wrong move as well. What he should have said is the truth, which is Missy was coming on to me. You know, I should have left, but I didn't. And mm-hmm. she kissed me and I told her no, but she did it again. Like, again, he is the victim. If we frame this as like a man doing this to a woman, it's like because of society, like it seems a mm-hmm. million times worse than if it's Missy doing this to Corey. But the results are the same regardless. And I feel like it's very strange for him to frame it in this way. I'm going to guess the reason he does it is simply because of the guilt he feels. Like, he feels yeah. like they're one and the same. It doesn't matter which way it happened, that, like, he was there for it. Mm-hmm. So, like, he was, like, complicit in a way. But mm-hmm. then, like, how things progress from this moment don't make sense to me either. Like, Topanga forgives him, like, pretty instantly.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, but, like, hold on. He's like, she's like, why'd you do it? I feel terrible. I wasn't thinking. He's like, I've never felt worse. And she was like, you should feel bad. I feel bad. What should I do now? And then, yeah. So she was like, how did Missy kiss you? Like, did she kiss you like this? And she gave him a peck. And did she kiss you like this? And it was like a big old smooch. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, like, nobody's kissed me like that before.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Like, I feel like, because Topanga doesn't have all the information. So if it's me and she thinks that Corey kissed somebody else, I'm not forgiving him within 5 seconds. Like, maybe eventually, yes. But, like,
yeah.
My gosh, like, I don't know. This episode didn't really work for me,
honestly. It didn't check the boxes. Yeah.
No.
So then, yeah, basically she's like, if you ever do it again, well, I'll never forgive you or whatever.
Whatever she says. Yeah, it just is like. It feels like there's all this buildup, and then it's yeah. like the balloon just like deflates. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I don't really get it. Like it's almost like she knows more than she actually really yes. knows. Like if she really knew like what was happening,
yes,
then but like from the information that Corey gives her, which is like paints a much worse story than actually what happened.
Yeah.
I would be pissed, and she should have not forgiven him so quickly. So it doesn't totally make sense. I don't really get it.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It just feels, it leaves you feeling like unfulfilled and like kind of strange about the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now this is like our second time where this relationship feels like a little bit threatened. It's yeah. not the strong Corey and Topanga relationship that, you know, you remember.
Right, but it's not even threatened by anything real. That's what's, like, worse, is that, like, if it was an actual threat to their relationship, fine, sure, great. But this mm-hmm. episode just made me feel, like, uncomfortable and, yeah. like, weird, and the resolution yeah. didn't make sense. Honestly, I like the Feeny storyline better, and it's so small compared to the rest of the episode.
Yeah.
It's
like two yeah, scenes. I mean, Corey's not his fault. This is not, like, a trip to the cabin retreat
exactly.
type of situation.
Exactly, yes.
But Corey takes too much blame over, and I don't know, like, Topanga, you know, forgives way too quickly
yeah.
for something that she doesn't really understand what happened. Yeah. And I do think, like, ultimately, I think that, like, the answer to if you're in this situation is, you know that you have the power to leave.
Yeah.
And unless,
it's not your fault. Like,
unless there's, like, other circumstances. Like, real aggression yes. going on. Yeah.
So we get the resolution to the Feeny storyline. Eli's worried because Feeny's not in yet. He says he has a bad knee. Feeny walked 10 miles, which means Turner owes him $50 and Eli owes him $500.
I would not be able to afford this.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
No, this would ruin me.
He's a new teacher. He doesn't have that much money, Feeny.
I would be like, I could never financially recover from this.
Yes. Topanga's talking to Corey because he's sick, obviously. He made out with Topanga when she was sick. And Trini is there to help him get better. Why aren't you in school, Trini? What are you doing?
I don't know. I don't know. Trini is there to torment Corey. This is Topanga's payback.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, overall, I think I said most of my thoughts here. I preferred the rave mm-hmm. episode to the second episode. The second episode just felt off to me. It didn't,
you like,
it didn't really work.
Reginald Fairfield.
I did love Reginald better. Fairfield, yeah.
It's great. Better. A little bit better.
A little better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lost the two people from England that listened to us. Goodbye. Loved you.
Sorry. Are you ready to take it into some fashion hour?
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. So to kick things off, I picked a Topanga episode, or excuse me, a Topanga outfit from episode 8. This is for the Rachel Green Award for the most 90s outfit. It's a very brief Topanga sighting, but it was such an iconic outfit, I had to choose it. This is when she gives the earmuffs back to Corey. She is wearing what looks, at first glance, it appears to be a jumpsuit. I don't know if it actually is or if it's two separate pieces with a belt around, like, the waist. But it's, like, a gray, kind of looks like kind of more like a professional businessy type of jumpsuit. A black belt around the waist. She has on a red sport jacket, I guess you would call it, a suit coat type of thing. And her hair, I actually thought was really interesting looking. It was like half up, half down, but like kind of like twisted.
Look at this expert hairstyle right here. So long. It's getting very long.
It's really long.
Like this outfit, like I like how high-waisted these pants are. It's definitely like a cute little outfit. She loves a blazer, doesn't she?
She really does. She is loving the blazers.
Yeah, she's like, I got so many blazers. More blazers than I have in my professional life.
Yeah, I don't wear blazers. I'm more of a dress gal than a blazer gal. Next up, I have Sean, also from episode 8. This is him at the party. I mainly chose it because of the hat. Because the hat is just, what is happening? I don't know what it is. It's not a fedora. A bowler hat? What type of hat is this? It's kind of a cross between a fedora and a bowler hat.
Yeah, it's a fuller hat.
Fuller hat. He has on, I believe, black pants, and then of course all the layers on the top. He has what looks to be like a white Henley. Over top of that, it's kind of a salmon-y button down long sleeve shirt, all open. And then on top of that, he has a vest. I don't really understand what is happening with this vest because it is like a black back. And then the front has a pattern. I have no fucking idea what this fucking pattern is.
So, like, at first I thought it was saxophones, but it's not. Then I was like, wait, is that, like, the Rolling Stone lips?
Oh, maybe it's, but, like, a what's that artist that, like, when you look at it from different angles, it looks different?
Yeah.
Like a Warhol? Is it or
yellow
a,
and black squiggles? Like, I don't really know.
I have no
know.
Idea what it is, but I was fascinated by it, so...
Yeah. Let's give it to Sean and his fucking ugly blazer.
Yeah. Oh, wait. No, I have one more contestant.
Oh, excuse me.
Well, I'll let you decide because this one I was a bit up in the air as to where it belonged. So I have Missy from episode 9, and this is the infamous party outfit. So she is wearing an all white dress, honestly kind of see-through in like the midriff area. It has like a weird like texture on the top. It's almost like little bubbles. And it's kind of a scoop neck. It's like a short mini skirt, and she's wearing like white tights, but they're almost see-through. They're like almost translucent. Middle part, hair kind of like feathery and wispy.
I love the hair.
Platinum blonde. And I think she has a strong brow game, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. So we're putting this in Rachel Green.
Well, what do you think? Because I think the tights are what put it into Rachel Green for me. But if you want to like sidestep the tights a little bit and throw it into Paul Rudd, no, I can understand.
Let's keep in here because of the texture.
Yeah. It's a very 90s texture.
I love this dress. It's so cute. This is definitely the winner.
All right. Missy the mistress. Getting those points.
Sorry, I assumed.
No, that's fine. It's because I have, so for the Paul Rudd certificate of timelessness, I only have two options here, so I can understand how it would be confusing. So we will start out with Topanga's outfit from the episode 9 when she goes to get ice cream. I almost chose her pajama outfit because honestly I loved it, but The reason I mainly chose this, because like the outfit itself is fine, the main reason I chose this is because I thought her hair was so cool looking, and braids are like, I don't know, braids are kind of always in, but I feel like they've definitely made a comeback in the more recent years. And they're very simple though. Like nowadays you'd see like her do like a flower crown, right? Like if this show was on now, Topanga'd be doing flower crowns and shit, like very Daenerys Targaryen. This is like Daenerys before Daenerys, you know what I mean?
I am following, I guess.
So Game of Thrones people will understand. So she has basically three different braids, one from left, one from right, one from center. And they're regular braids. They're not French braids or anything. And they all kind of meet in the center in the back. And she has like a pony like there. So it's like half up, half down, but with three individual braids. I just thought this was like super interesting to look at.
It's really elaborate.
Yes. And then she has on kind of like baggy, high-waisted jeans. Kind of like they reminded me of those like paper, what are they called? Paper sack? Paper bag jeans. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she has on like a reddish pink sweater. And then what looks to be like an oversized, maybe corduroy jacket. Kind of tough to tell. Kind of navy colored. What do you think?
Well, the hair, it's like the hair is very cool. Mm-hmm. You're definitely right about that. Like to be sick and have the effort to do that to your hair. Maybe she was bored, had nothing to do all day. Overall, it's like, it looks like it's like pretty good. Like she looks so fresh and healthy for being a sickie.
Right?
Yeah.
And then lastly, I have Amy Matthews. This is her party attire. She is killing it in this. It's like, honestly, it reminds me of like a little black dress, except in red. Like it's so cute. It has kind of like thinner straps and like some beading detail on the chest. She's wearing what looks to be kind of like a pearl choker, but like multiple strands of pearls, if that makes sense. She has on, she definitely has on some form of like tights, but they're more like, I don't know what they're called. They like kind of look like your skin color, you know? She has her hair in an updo, kind of like a twist, and she has like a cute little like black shawl, like satiny black shawl. Her makeup looks on point. I just feel like this is such a cute outfit for Amy.
Yeah, she looks so beautiful. I love this outfit. This dress is a killer. I love it when Amy dresses up, and we haven't gone to see her dress up in a little bit. So it was really nice seeing her like be like sassy Amy, and her hair looks so good.
Yeah.
And, like she looks like so like pretty in this outfit, and it's flowy, so I love it. I love this dress, and I think it's my winner.
Yes,
for the Amy. Paul Rudd.
I know. I feel like this dress is, honestly, you wouldn't you wouldn't look twice if you saw someone wearing this nowadays. Like it is very timeless.
Yeah,
and she looks so good in red. To be honest, I feel like most people look good in red. I just love when people wear red in general, because it's kind of like a bold color, but still compliments most people. You know.
Yeah, totally.
So that's our fashion awards. Congratulations to Missy and Amy this week. I feel like I made my points known. Like I liked one episode more than the other. But I'm not down on season three. I'm liking it. I don't know if I had to. I guess, well, this is something to talk about once we get to the end of the season, though, like where we'd rank the seasons thus far. Because I don't know.
Yes.
I'd have to really think about it, you know?
Yeah. Got to use my thinker.
Next week, we are talking about episodes 10 and 11. So another double header next week. Let's see. The Double Lie and City Slackers. Name of the episodes. Interesting.
No, I thought, did we not do The Double Lie already?
No. I don't think so. The Double Lie?
That's episode 2.
Oh, then our calendar is wrong.
Hold on. Kidding.
Let's see. Sister Teresa. Oh, I'm on the wrong season.
I think it's
Train of Fools. Okay. Let me take that from the top. Hold on. Let me make sure the other one is correct. City Slackers. Train of Fools and City Slackers. Okay. So next week, episodes 10 and 11, Train of Fools and City Slackers.
Choo-choo.
As usual, we have our Dawson's Creek content you all can listen to. Little bit of a delay on the Matilda LaTanya podcast. We are going to be rescheduling that. It'll just be later than it would have been. But, Sarah, would you like to announce what our next bonus episode is going to be for July?
Yeah, we are welcoming back Kevin Mahadeo, who is actually our first guest in our podcast.
Yeah, we did Casper so long ago.
Yeah, we did Casper back in October, and he is coming on to do Hook.
Yeah.
With Robin Williams, which I love that movie. Like, Robin Williams, yes. Like, ugh, so adore good. Him. I always think of him as, like, my second dad. I don't know why.
Yeah. No, he has that, like, dad appeal, I think. Like, he definitely seems dad-ish. Super excited to have Kevin back. I feel like he mentioned Hook when we talked to him about Casper. Like, I feel like that was definitely in the talks of, like, if you ever cover this movie, please invite me on. And we did. Yeah. And it's happening.
Yep. It's happening.
I can't wait. It's going to be so exciting. So definitely get any questions or feedback you have in shit90spod@gmail.com, @shit90spod, mm-hmm. Twitter, and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have anything else to talk about? I think that
no,
might be
like
it.
I am going to be on Boy Meets World Fever with Chance and Cameron. And I'm really excited about that. We did like a, what is it, like an RPG? No.
Yeah. What is it? Yeah. Like a role playing game. D&D.
Like a role-playing game.
Yeah, it's like D&D-esque, has similar, from what you've told me, has similar types of game mechanics. Yeah.
In the world of Boy Meets World, so you Boy Meets World fans, check that out. I think that's coming out on Saturday the 10th, maybe. So check it out. Check it out in the Boy Meets World Fever feed.
Lovely. Yeah, super. I cannot wait to listen to that. It's going to be so much fun.
It should be fun. It's a long one.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. Like, everybody has commutes. I mean, well, maybe not now, but you know, everybody has shit they got to do. They can listen to it in spurts.
Yeah.
So thank you everybody for listening. We'll be back next week, episodes 10 and 11 of season 3 of Boy Meets World. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.
Shit 90 shows taught me.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.